You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
I pondered on what to speak about this morning, thought of the day, today, Memorial Day, and it prompted me to do a brief word study in Scripture. On memorial, what does God tell us to remember? And a couple of verses came to mind right away of God telling us to remember. The one that came to mind first was when Joshua told the men of the children of Israel to set stones after they crossed the Jordan River for a memorial. And so there is a pattern in Scripture for us to remember some things and to establish some things to remind us. And so we're going to look at some things that we should remember as Christians. Number one, first of all, we want to remember God. We want to remember God. In Exodus, so you're in Psalm 135, we'll get there in just a moment, but in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." We should remember, first of all, who God is. The name of God means something. The name of God is a memorial. The name of God reminds us. And here he's telling Moses, when Moses is saying, when I go to your people, who should I tell them sent me? God said, tell them, I am that I am sent you. God said, tell them the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of your fathers. That's who you should tell them, because my name will remind them of who I am. My name means something. God's name means something, and it should mean something to us, and it's something that we need to remember. And it's something that holds weight. There's power behind the name of God. So remember God. Remember who he is. You're in Psalm 135. Look at verse 13. "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations." The name of God is something to be remembered. Next, not only who he is, but also what he did. You're in Psalm 135. I'm just going to skim the first 12 verses. Verse number 1, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God." Verse 3, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name." Verse 4, "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself." Verse 5, "For I know the Lord is great, the Lord is above all gods." Verse 6, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven." Verse 7, "He caused the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and maketh lightnings for the rain." Verse 8, "Who smote the firstborn in Egypt." Verse 9, "Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee." Verse 10, "Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings." Verse 12, "And gave their land for an heritage. Next, not only do we remember who God is or what his name is, but also what he did. What he did. And we see a list here. God did this. God did this. His name. Remember, praise his name because he did this, because he did this, because he did this. It's important that we remember the name of God and who God is, but why? Because of what he's done. Is there a list in your life that you can go back and think, I praise you because you did this, because you did this, because you did this? It's outlined here. It's written. It's recorded as a memorial, something to remember. Do you have a list anywhere recorded? We'll get to this later. But you should be recording. You should be writing down, keeping a list of the things that God has done in your life. It's important that we remember who God is and what he's done. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verses 24 and 20 through 26. You don't need to turn there. If you're fast, you can get there. We read this once a month, so we're familiar with these verses anyway. What are these verses for? What do we go over them? Why do we read them when we do what? We take the Lord's Supper once a month in our church. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Remember the name of the Lord. Remember what he's done. The most important thing to remember what God has done for you is that he sacrificed his life. He shed his blood and gave his body to be broken for us so that we could have eternal life. There's no greater gift than a man lay down his life for his friends. He did that so that we could have eternal life. And if there's anyone in here that hasn't yet accepted that free gift of eternal life, God sacrificed his life. He gave his life for you, and we remember it because he's given us eternal life. There's no greater gift than that. So first of all, remember God. Remember who he is, what he did. Next, I see here, remember people. Exodus 28, verse 29, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." I'm going to read that verse again. This is speaking of a lot of the traditions that they would hold when sacrificing and all of that. But God told them, "And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually." You know what I see here? There was a recording of other people. Not only do we remember the name of God and what he's done, we remember other people. There are many people that have gone on from this church as I've grown up in this church that I remember. Where they sat, the things that they did, the things that they gave for, the things that they sacrificed, the ministries they were involved in. Just as I'm saying this, the Andersons come to mind. My first and second grade boys' Sunday school teacher. And seeing them hold hands walking through Carmelitos to visit their Sunday school class on Saturdays. I remember Brother Reich sitting here in the front, his spot. Many others. But I remember them. I remember the people. And here I see an interesting thing. Their names were recorded on a breastplate that Aaron wore. And that reminds me of different plaques that we have around the church even. The plaque out by the flagpole, remembering Al Fash. There's a plaque here on the pulpit. You guys can't see this, but it's right here. You're welcome to come after the service. Not right now, but come and look at it. It says, "In loving memory of Carol Vale, dedicated to those who faithfully preach the word of God." In one of our previous shuttles that that's passed on, there was a plaque for Brother George Hollenbeck, who left in his will some money that we used to purchase that shuttle. We've got pictures of our former pastors here, not that have passed on, but that we remember. We remember certain people that have stood for something, that their name means something because of the name that he sacrificed for them. So it's important that we remember people. Even at memorials, we say, "In loving memory," right? And I just read that on the plaque. We remember people and what they've meant to us. That's an important thing that's patterned even in Scripture. So remember God, remember people. Next, remember victories. Remember victories. Joshua chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. "And Joshua said unto them," this is the verse I referenced just a moment ago, "Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulders, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, and when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What mean ye by these stones?' then ye shall answer them, 'That the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever.'" That was a victory. That was something that God did. No question about it. No doubt about it. God parted those waters. God brought them across the Jordan River. And Joshua said, "We need to put something here to remind us. So that when our children ask, what are those stones mean? What does that memorial mean? We can say, that's where God did this. That's where God brought us through. That's where God gave us the victory. Another one in Exodus 17, verse 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven. God said, write this down, record this victory. This is going to be important. You know what's interesting that just came to my mind? Who had this victory here? Who was the leader? Who was the one raising his hands? Moses. But God said, record it. Who did he record it for? Moses? No, he said Joshua. Joshua was on the battlefield. Joshua was the future leader. He was the one that was going to take over. And he said, write it down to remind Joshua what happened here. He's going to need to remember this later. Moses wasn't going to need to remember it. Moses was going to be gone. He was going to be off the scene. I think it's important that we record the victories that God gives us. Not just so that we can remember it, but so that those that come after us can remember what God did, what they saw, what we saw. Record our victories and keep track. I think it's important that we individually record the victories that God gives us in our spiritual life. There should be some type of journal, some type of writing in your Bible even, some type of record where you record what has God done. How has God proven himself strong in your life? What trials has he brought you through? What circumstances has he worked out in your life? Do you have stories? My wife and I were having dinner with another couple this week, and we were talking about our life and how God has given us the children that he's given us. And I was remembering and telling stories of how God worked in our life and how we were pregnant for 4 months with Russell before we even knew. We wanted a child, and we were praying for a child and asking God for a child, but he didn't reveal it to us until 16 weeks. She had taken pregnancy tests that came back negative, false negative. But we were thinking, God, we want a baby. Will you give us a baby? And you know when God revealed it to us? He revealed it to us 2 days after we had a conversation. I remember we were on the street walking Dodger around the block. We had a conversation. He said, we're young. We've got many years ahead of us. We can be patient. But more than that, we got to a point where we said, God, if Ara is all that you give us, we're content and we're satisfied with that. We had that conversation. We came to that realization together as a couple. And 2 days later, God said, oh yeah, you were already pregnant. I was already giving you another one. I just wanted you to trust me. That's something that I remember, a victory that God gave us, where he was teaching us to be patient, to be content. And then he'll give us what he wants us to have. But it's not because we want it, because he wants us to have it. And that was a memory that I have of the victory. Do you have stories like that in your life? Where you just saw God work the timing of things in your life and circumstances where in the middle of it, you didn't know how it was going to work out. And then God just said, yeah, I've got you. I've got this. Story after story after story, you can go back in your life and think, that's what God did. Do you remember? We need to record these things so that we can remember, so that we can pass them on, so we can share them with those. I think it's important that my son and daughter learn that story. Ara was there, but she was 2, 3. She didn't know what was going on, but she will, because I'm going to record that for her. It's important that she knows. This recording of this victory of Moses' hands being held, it wasn't for Moses. It was for Joshua to remind him, you know, while you were on the battlefield, while you were fighting and winning and losing, Moses was up on the mountain. And God was using him. And God gave you this victory. It wasn't because of anything you did on the battlefield. It was up on the mountain. It was God that was doing that. And that was recorded for Joshua to remind him later. So we need to remember our victories, but also I think of Matthew 26, verse 7. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head, and He sat at meat. This is Jesus right before he was going to be betrayed and crucified. And this woman brought an alabaster box of ointment. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." It's important not only that we remember our victories, we remember the victories of others. And here Jesus is saying, I want you to tell everyone else about what this woman did. She knew this was for my burial. You guys didn't understand what was going on. You still don't at this moment. They still didn't understand what was going on. But Jesus said, wherever this story is told, tell about her. She had the forethought. She had the discernment to do what was right when no one else understood what was going on. This was her victory, and I want you to tell others about it. Even, as I was just saying, the victory of Moses' hands being held, it wasn't recorded for Moses, it was recorded for Joshua. It was important Joshua remembered somebody else's victory too. We don't just rely on the victories that God has done in our life, we also remember the victories he's done in others' lives. I think it gives us also an inclination of what God could be doing in our life. And for whatever reason, he's maybe not. Maybe it's because of sin in our life. Maybe it's because we're just not grown enough yet for him to try our faith in that way. The victories that we have, the victories that others have, those should be remembered. Next, turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Here is a scriptural pattern for remembering days. Remembering days. Holidays. Tomorrow's a holiday. And here in Leviticus, God outlines different holidays or days of remembrance for the children of Israel. Leviticus 23, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the month, of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. Verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 7, in the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Skip down all the way down to verse 24. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets and holy convocation. Verse 27. Also, in the 10th day of the 7th month shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. Verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Verse 39. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. The first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. There's a pattern here, a listing, if you would, that God gives of different holidays, of different days of remembrance. And we skimmed over all the details, but on each day he gave them specific details. This is how you observe. This is how you celebrate. This is how you remember things. Look at verse 42. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Here was one example where he said, this is what you're going to do during this period, during this holiday, during this celebration. You're going to leave your houses and go dwell in booths, to remind you that God had them dwelling in booths when he brought them out of the land. I want you to remember, you're going to do these certain things on these holidays. You know, holidays are not just about a day off. I feel like we always hear this mentioned, especially on Memorial Day. You're going and having your picnics. Remember what the holiday is for. There should be certain traditions that we observe on holidays to remind us what the holiday is for. Easter's not about the Easter bunny. Christmas is not about presents and the Christmas tree, right? We know these things. But holidays, what do we celebrate them for? What do we remember? Do something on those days. We had a moment of silence. It's a tradition. Something that we do on this holiday so that the holiday has its significance. Why do we do it? So that we remember. So that we remember. On holidays, it's not just about a day off. There should be some tradition so that it has its effectiveness of reminding us of the things that we need to be reminded of. Easter reminds us of the resurrection. Christmas reminds us of Jesus' birth. What do these holidays do? We should remember days so that we can remember what those days mean. They have meaning. And then, almost done here, just a couple more points. Next, I want you to turn to Exodus 30. Exodus chapter 30. One important thing about remembering is how we remember. What do we do with the memory? What does it motivate us to do? Do we remember things just so that we feel good? Or should that memory motivate us to do something? Exodus 30, verse number 14. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall, what? Give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than a half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Verse 16, and thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shalt appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your souls. Also in the passage that I read in Leviticus, along with each of those days, there were certain things that they were to sacrifice. We remember through sacrifice. And it's important that we remember through sacrifice. Here God said, this is a memorial, but it's a memorial because each one of you is going to give. I think of this bus that we're trying to buy. You're going to remember what this bus means. It's going to mean more to you. You're going to have an impact if you give toward this bus. If you don't, you won't. It won't have the meaning that it has. Think of the hymnals. How many of you remember giving when we were looking to buy new hymnals? Matter of fact, I know in the youth room when they were doing that, they printed stickers and put them in the front. This hymnal was donated by. It's a memorial. It's a memorial for some teenagers who were in the youth group when they got those hymnals that they donated. They did this. The building fund. If you've given toward the building fund, these different remodels and additions that we make, that means more to you because you had a part in it. You had a part in giving. The scholarship fund, those that have given to that, how important that is. Some of the young people that are in school that are learning the things that they're learning through a biblical perspective, they're learning about God in each of their subjects. You have a part in that. If you're giving toward that, that is your memory. As you look at our young people in the school, that should give you something more of a remembrance because you had a part in it. The memories that we are making, the memories, the victories that God has given us and that we need to look back on and remember, they mean more when we had a part in them. And time after time after time, as we look in Scripture and we see this is a memorial, it was coupled with sacrifice. It was coupled with how did you have a part in that? How did God use you to do that? And as we remember more when we have a part in giving. And then, lastly, Nehemiah chapter 2. I'll go ahead and have you turn here. It'll be the last passage we read anyway. Nehemiah chapter 2. This was when Nehemiah was going to rebuild the wall. There are some things here as we remember. There are some things that we remember as Christians. The name of God, what He's done. The name of other people that have impacted our lives. The victories that God has brought for us and for others. The days, the different holidays, the different things that God tells us, remember this on this day. There's something about it. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Nehemiah telling the people, let's go get to work. Let's rebuild our wall. Rebuild our city. They got on board. But, verse 19, when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, what did they do? They laughed us to scorn and despised us, saying, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Those that were on the outside looking in didn't understand. And they ridiculed, they scorned. They said, what are you doing this for? Verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. Nehemiah said, we're not doing this for you, we're doing this for God, and he's the one that's going to give us this victory, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. There's something about the things that we remember, the victories that God gives us, the sacrifices we make for those victories, that outsiders don't understand. The world doesn't understand why you go to church on Sunday. The world doesn't understand why you give to the church instead of to charity. And they'll sometimes scorn you and ridicule. The memories that God tells us to remember, the memorials He tells us to set up, it's not for them. For us. God has this for you. And don't let the world who doesn't understand keep you from doing what is right. That applies to so many areas of our life. Don't let the worldly philosophies, the things that they say, no, this is right. They call evil good and good evil. Don't let that persuade you. Don't let that hinder you from doing what God has you to do. These memories, these memorials, the people who we remember sitting in our church and serving in different ministries and the plaques that we put up, the world doesn't understand that, and they won't. But it's not for them. Again, he said, ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. It's not about you, it's not for you, it's about God. Let's do what we do for him. Let's remember what he tells us to remember. Let us set memorials. Let us record the victories that he's given to us. A short message, but hopefully the timing is right for us to remember and set the things that He has set in front of us. Set our affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Help us to remember what God has us to remember. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your sacrifice, for the sacrifice that we will remember today and tomorrow. Lord,